Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. We have a special guest on the show that we will bring on here in a second, but we got a lot to talk about today. I mean, we got Caleb Williams popping off at Fanatics Fest, and I, as a Bears fan, absolutely love it. Want to get Cassie Carlson's thoughts on what we heard from Caleb Williams this weekend and on how kind of this Bears team is really emulating Ben Johnson and his willingness to go after some of the other people in the division. Loving it here. All that and more on today's Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura dealer. Drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming. Just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6 right off of I-80-94. Without further ado, let's bring in our special guest on today's episode, Cassie Carlson from Fox Sports Chicago in the building. Cassie, how are you?
Good, Pat the Designer. Thanks for having me. I'm super happy to be on your show.
I'm so glad to have you on. It's been fun. I've been on you guys' show now. We did, of course, the schedule release.
Yes.
The schedule release together. And now we get to have you here and get some of your great opinions on what this Bears team has going on. And I don't know if you're like me, Cassie, but Fanatics Fest this weekend, you hear Caleb Williams come out immediately, asked about Packers fans, and he just comes out honest. I mean, they suck. What are you going to do? It is what it is. It seems like we have a Chicago Bears team that is emulating what Ben Johnson is putting out. They're all falling in lockstep. Ben Johnson showed up here day one, ready for the smoke. 4,000-yard passer question, we got it. I enjoy beating Matt LaFleur. I enjoy going up against Kevin O'Connell, and I believe I'm 2-0 against him. All of these things that Ben Johnson has put out there, it seems like this Bears team is emulating as well.
And I think that's exactly what you want, because I think the first thing we thought of when we met Ben Johnson at his introductory press conference is this guy is confident. And he said many times that he wants his team to be confident. He doesn't want them to be a palms up team. Like, they want to go into every game and know exactly what their job is and feel prepared for every game. And I think that he is setting the tone with that. And I love it because it's not just Ben Johnson saying like, oh yeah, I love beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. It's Matt LaFleur not wanting to talk about this at all. He's like shaking off every single question. He's like, can we move on? Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to make this into a thing, which is funny because like, if you look at history in recent years, like the Packers have been on the winning side and now you feel this shift. And I don't know, that's because they won the game the last week of the season at Lambeau Field, and you feel this new energy that's coming into Chicago, whether it be with Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson, or if Matt LaFleur is just like, all right, well, come week what? Like, we're just going to go out there and show it on the field. But it's not just Caleb Williams at Fanatics Fest. There was a music festival in the south suburbs of Chicago, and I don't know if you saw those chants too. He was right there with them.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say it, I don't think. But he's buying into it. I mean, this is a 23-year-old kid. You'd love to see it. He's enjoying it. Now let's just hope it translates to wins against Green Bay.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, he talked about as well the relationship that he has with Ben Johnson and how there's all this tough love. But I think that, to me, right, that is really showing as something that Caleb Williams has been wanting. It's something that Caleb Williams has been looking for and was looking for probably that first year with Matt Eberflus. I thought it was very interesting when he was talking about, you know, just how Ben Johnson has been instrumental in the beginning of just putting him in different positions that do make him uncomfortable. And he said, it's not just Ben Johnson. We've got a young staff, old staff. We have a bunch of experience, a bunch of new energy provided from the coaches and players. And I think that it has been awesome, was what Caleb Williams said there with a very wide smile on his face. It just seems like there's such a different energy in the room. And I know a new head coach can do that after what we saw with Matt Eberflus last season. But this does feel like a different vibe from Ben Johnson and the Caleb Williams relationship with them both together.
Well, I think you have to go back to last year too, because mind you, Caleb Williams asked to be coach and he said he wanted to be coach. So here it is, Caleb Williams, like maybe this is a different coaching style than you've ever experienced before. And I think Thomas Brown tried to get a little bit more of that aggressive, like in your face coaching, like I'm going to tell you when you do something wrong. But I think the relationship with that entire coaching staff had already soured at that point last season. And I don't know that there was the respect factor there. I think the respect factor there was instant with Ben Johnson, because Caleb Williams also said he wanted an offensive-minded coach, and there was one that was the obvious choice. And just the reaction that he talked about when he learned that the Bears hired Ben Johnson, letting out those loud screams when he was driving in the car, like, Caleb Williams got what he wanted, and he got who he wanted and what he asked for in that. And I think that when you listen to Ben Johnson, he's not going to sugarcoat anything, but it's all in the name of winning. And I think right now players are figuring out like what that looks like in his coaching style on the field. And I think you could also use the comparison with Cole Kmet, who we all saw get ratted out at a practice. And we're like, when do you think the last time Cole Kmet was, you know, told he did something wrong in practice? Like, I feel like that's probably never happened. And then you hear him recall the story and he was like, yeah, but Ben Johnson also after the fact was joking with me like, hey, I was just trying to get you the ball. Like, it's all in the name of winning. It's all in the name of making these players better. And I believe like in all of coaching, one, you need respect from your players, but also I think there should be like a healthy fear of disappointing a coach. And hopefully that's what Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson are kind of like building right now. You hear that they're eating lunch together, and we know that Ben Johnson wants Caleb Williams to see the offense through the play caller's eyes, and they're trying to work through what this offense is going to look like right now. From my understanding, Ben Johnson probably had an idea coming in when he was hired of what he wanted the offense to be. Well, now he's gone through an entire offseason of minicamp and OTAs with Caleb Williams for the first time. He sat in the film room with him, and now he's going to take this summer with everything that he knows and be like, all right, we're going to rework it this way, that way, because this is what I've learned about my quarterback. But I think that it's good to hear that there are choice words at every practice that Ben Johnson is using towards Caleb Williams. Like, the quarterback needs to be held accountable. Like, he's the number one overall pick. And I think the first year, your rookie season, we all knew from the outside that we didn't feel like the coaching staff was best set up for him. And that was obviously a storyline heading into last year before he was drafted, if Matt Eberflus should be the head coach. I think there was like a little bit more leeway. Now I feel like it's game on. Like, you're in your second year, you have this offensive guru. Now you got to go out there and show that you can do the job as well. So yeah, I truly believe in like a healthy fear of disappointment in like the player to coach relationship. So hopefully Caleb is like learning more about his coach, and he's learning that if he doesn't go out there and perform, like, he's going to hear it from him.
And I just love the fact that it feels like they're setting this standard now where listen, you've been there, Cassie. Like, it felt like 3 years. We're going into Green Bay every time. 2.5 years, really, I guess. He didn't finish out that third year. But it feels like we're going into Green Bay every time. They're coming here. And Matt Eberflus is telling us, it's just another game. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? Meanwhile, Matt LaFleur is over here like, you know what I mean? Like, and meanwhile, Matt LaFleur is over here preaching and going at the Bears and saying, yeah, you know, we know that means a little bit more up here. And so we take it a little bit more serious. And that's how the games played out. That's how it looked like the Packers were like, we're going to continue to be the hammer. And the Bears were like, fine, we'll be the nail. We like to play this role under the Matt Eberflus regime. Now with Ben Johnson in here, not only does it seem like the Bears are looking for some of the smoke early on here, but the work, you mentioned how they've been in practice. It seems like those are things that have already been mentioned to the team is, hey, we are not going to be, I love how Ben Johnson said this, a palms up team. We're not going to be a team that looks defeated out there. We're not going to be a team that comes out with weakness out there. And I think that's just a different message than what we've seen over the last couple of years where, and you brought it up, right? Ben Johnson's not sugarcoating anything. It hasn't been good. And he knows that. And he's not shying away from those expectations. I love the fact that he's not only inviting the smoke from the rest of the division, but all the questions that we bring up. When he's asked about 4,000-yard passers, 30 touchdown seasons, consistent offenses, he's like, yeah, it's been bad, ain't it? Let's fix that. Like, he's taking all these challenges head on, and I love that for this team because that's a mindset where, to me, Flus was very good enough is good enough. That's not the case here with Ben Johnson earlier.
Well, and I think it's true that your team adopts the personality and the confidence of your head coach. So when you see Ben Johnson up there taking questions and actually answering the questions and giving you something in return and being like, someone being like, what did you think about the Caleb Williams article? He's like, that's in the past. Like, we're going to move on. There's never been a 4,000-yard passer. Like, we can acknowledge that. But I can also tell you, like, that is going to change under me being the head coach and Caleb Williams being my quarterback. Like, that stuff I think resonates with the team. I always give Ben Johnson credit for how he uses the media because I think coaches can be strategic in it and definitely send messages through it. And I think Ben Johnson has done that with individual players many times, whether it be, I had an interview with him at the combine. He compared Darnell Wright to Penei Sewell. I think that was a direct message to Darnell Wright. Like, hey, if you want to be an all pro, if you want to be a Pro Bowler, like, I see it in you, go out there and prove to everyone else that you can do that and you can be that for this team. So I think that like Ben Johnson, I was talking to Jeff Joniak for a segment the other day. He's like, he hit a grand slam with this offseason. Like he like checked every single box of what you want from your head coach. He instilled confidence in his team. You can tell he's confident in himself. Fans, I think, are feeding off that confidence. I drink the Kool-Aid every single offseason. And this is only my second head coach, I guess, with the Bears since I've covered them. But you can sense the different, to use a Caleb word, aura around like this team. Like, it is different. Yeah. I think everyone can acknowledge that. And I just appreciate that. Yeah, like Ben Johnson isn't backing down from anything and isn't shying away from being the head coach. Like, as the head coach, you are one of the faces of this franchise and you are the face that's going to go out there and speak for the team. And that's where Matt Eberflus, I hate to like compare them all the time, but it's like where he fell significantly short, because you like, I'd say I had like anxiety by proxy walking into some of those press conferences, because you didn't know what you were going to get from him and you just knew it was going to be uncomfortable. And he never felt or gave off the like that he was confident at all.
Yeah. Well, he did. Like, I'd say about 6 weeks into the beard.
Oh, yeah.
He was walking a little different.
The storyline. Yeah. Everyone was like,
6 weeks into the beard, Cassie.
The beard don't mean anything.
4-2 Flus with good beard was a different dude, man.
He was cracking jokes.
That Hail Mary happened.
Yeah, don't remind us.
No, I thought what was interesting too was even just Caleb, again, like, they're not running away from anything. He brought up even at Fanatics Fest, right? I know for Bears fans, it's year after year typically where coaches and quarterbacks are typically in and out. But our goal is to be here for a while. Just something else that I think like is the stigma, right? This is to take from what Carl Williams said, before the draft. Yeah. This is where quarterbacks have gone to die. And it is the case in the past. And I think you mentioned Ben Johnson, you know, taking those comments head on, saying that, you know, the things that are going in that book, it is what it is. You know, we're moving past that. I wasn't here for that. And that's been the mindset, I think, of this coaching staff as a whole. And the part that I love, even, you know, you mentioned getting PTSD, the directness that we get from Ben Johnson is so different. Even hearing Flus's response to Caleb Williams saying that he wasn't coached properly and that they weren't watching film with him and stuff like that, it was just such a Flus response of like, oh, that's not
how
my experience was in the building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was so much where, just like, that's a moment where it's fine for you. One, you're not on the team anymore. Two, I guess you don't want to throw a guy under the bus, but like, you're kind of throwing him under the bus anyway. Give a direct answer in that moment. The fact that we have a coach in place and a coaching staff in place that's not only direct with us in the media and direct with Bears fans, but also very direct with the players. I think that's the difference that you're seeing in this team early on. And what does excite me about coming into training camp here, where it seems like this Bears team is a little bit ahead of schedule with where we've seen them in the past, where I don't know how you felt leaving minicamp and OTAs, and I know no pads or any of that, but felt to me like the offense was a little bit more ahead of the defense.
Yeah, I feel like it was, you know, depending on the day. I'm trying really not to get ahead of myself, but I do think like we were saying a lot, like you got to give the Bears credit. Like, and I think part of the reason why this is all coming together and we're saying like it feels different is because what have we ever seen them pour the resources they have? One, into the head coach, two, into the offensive line. And so I think if they didn't go through free agency and the trades before free agency and bring in Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, sign Drew Dahlman, and then I guess now we can really talk about them drafting Ozzie Cipolla in the second round. Like, I don't think we would be having this much confident conversation, but the offensive line plays a huge role in why we are feeling this way about everything. Because I don't know, at Fanatics Fest, Caleb Williams was on a panel with CJ Stroud, Bryce Young was on there, and they were all talking, and we all remember the little bro moment CJ Stroud had with Caleb Williams after that Sunday Night Football loss in Houston. And he offered up advice that people felt like was probably unwarranted. And he was asked again, like, what advice would you give Caleb Williams? And he said, don't take the hits, like take the checkdowns, take the easy passes, get the ball out of your hands. Like if you want to go far in this league, like you need to stay upright. And I loved watching that like entire clip because I felt like Caleb Williams was like listening very intently. And I thought that signed like showed a lot more maturity from him. And I think like, obviously he's gotten advice from probably everyone that he's crossed paths with that's played quarterback in the NFL, and hearing it from someone who's only a year older than you or has a year more experience in the league probably isn't the most like heavy or, you know, valuable piece of advice. But I felt like CJ Stroud was like, I see you're talented. I want you to go far in this league. Like, this is what I would say. And I think now we see this whole thing coming together where Caleb Williams should not be sacked 68 times. And if he is, that's an entirely different conversation of probably surrounding him. And he was the first to admit that he had to take the blame for a lot of those sacks last year. But I feel like the reason we are having these conversations of why things look better, why we feel more confident, yes, it's Ben Johnson. Yes, it's Caleb Williams being paired with Ben Johnson. But I think like ultimately, at the end of the season, we'll probably look back and say, maybe it was the offensive line and we're not talking about it enough because they aren't the rotating five guys on the offensive line that, you know, hopefully left tackle is solidified as we go into week one and everyone feels good about whoever that may be. And the rest of it is set and injuries obviously happen. I always forget that Ryan Bates is still on this roster. Like what?
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's like, give credit to the Bears for investing in the offensive line that I think at the end of the day will be the biggest reason as to if the Bears do have success, why.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the number one thing that is different about what this current Ben Johnson regime and probably how quickly it changed is different about how this current Ben Johnson regime is being run early on. I mean, Cassie, I went back and literally, I've been covering Chicago sports now for 7 years. I've been doing, you know, like Bears breakdowns for probably three quarterbacks now. Every quarterback was the same conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if you get him an offensive line, he may figure it out. Hey, you got to upgrade this position at the offensive line. Hey, Justin Fields, you get him an offensive line, he may figure it out. This is the first time we've actually said, hey, you know, maybe if we get this dude an offensive line, it may be easier for him to play the quarterback position. And it took Ben Johnson coming into the building and going, this is what I'm looking for on the O-line. We talked about that relationship a ton with Ryan Poles and him where they, you know, he knew what Ben Johnson was looking for because Ben Johnson came in with his ideal players in mind already. All of a sudden, Ryan Poles is able to go out there and acquire all of those guys pretty quickly through free agency via trade to go get Joe Tooney. Like, those are things we haven't seen the Bears do, dare I say, probably since Olin Krutz was a part of this offensive line.
And he like, would agree with you. Olin Krutz would agree with you.
Like, that's a tough place to try and build a football team from, but it's good to see that, and maybe this is why it feels so different. The right eyes seem like they have the right vision, and that's why we feel confident heading into this season as well.
Yeah, and I think that also goes to the fact of the coaching staff. Like, Ben Johnson has said a number of times, like, he didn't just go out there and hire his friends. Dan Campbell was talking at the combine. He said, my biggest piece of advice to both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn were, don't hire your friends. Whoever you put on that coaching staff is going to be the most important decision you make in your coaching tenure. And so Ben Johnson goes out and brings in Dennis Allen, who's had multiple head coaching experiences. And that is going to alleviate Ben Johnson from totally worrying about the defense. Like, we know that offense is his thing. And he's a first-time head coach. And I think there's a lot of like kind of CEO type things that head coaches have to do during their first year that they don't realize until they're in it. And to let Dennis Allen take care of the defense, I think it's going to be a huge weight lifted off of Ben Johnson's shoulders, just in the grand scheme of like what he has to do on a day-to-day basis to get this team and primarily his offense ready to play on game days. Like, he can almost push that off entirely, like address the team in the team meeting. And then you're in the quarterback room with Caleb Williams and you're making sure that he knows the game plan and everyone's ready to go. So I think that's one key thing. Declan Doyle, a lot of people have the rave reviews about him because he's young, he's smart, and he can kind of balance out Ben Johnson and his coaching styles, I believe. And then JT Barrett is someone who's, I don't want to say Ben and Caleb Williams' shoes, but like, he played football at a high level in college and he's young. And I think like, he's a good match for Caleb Williams to be in his ear and kind of be like side by side with him in that quarterback room. So I think like, between the coaching staff as a whole, like you could go down the list of Al Harris, Antoine Randle Al, like the former players that garner respect. And I think Antoine Randle Al is like, I always use the comparison or the example of him with Jameson Williams in Detroit, because it was against the Bears both times, with him lecturing him on the sideline after he got into it with Tyreek Stevenson after the whistle, and then there was a flag, and you see like this almost like son dad moment, I want to like kind of compare it to, like that's, I mean, I guess you could say coach moment, but like that's more what it felt like. And then you see him at Soldier Field when Jameson Williams had that huge touchdown, and it's Antoine Randle Al like sprinting down the sideline right next to him. Like that to me embodies like what good coaching is. It's being hard when you need to be, and the players listening and respecting that. And like, because you do that, you can also celebrate with them. And I feel like that holds a lot of weight with players. So I feel like you can go down the list, like all the position groups. And who was it that said, I can't remember the player exactly, but he was like, what I've learned about Ben Johnson is that he's almost as good or better of a position coach than every coach that he's hired on this staff. Like he is that smart, that detail oriented. Like how many times do we hear the word detail? Like, it just seems like everything is like, there's a microscope on every single part of everything he's doing. And like, I think that is also a difference from previous regimes.
Let's do our dream scenario fast forward here to the end of the season real quick. We've got a gauntlet of coaches and quarterbacks from all different walks of life here at this point. I mean, you've got coaches who rookie coaches in this situation, coaches who have been here, you know, 5-6 years that know the game. Where will Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams rank in the NFC North on the coach to quarterback relationship here, especially knowing now Jared Goff has a completely new situation going on for him up in Detroit?
That's a tough one. I feel like the NFC North, like no one knows how it's going to shake out, because you could convince me that Detroit is going to still be number one, but then you think about them losing both coordinators, like how is Jared Goff going to look? Then I don't know, like losing a center and Frank Ragnow like shortly before the season, I like that is huge. And I think like that could play a big factor in it. Then you go to Minnesota and you're like, oh, there's Kevin O'Connell, the 2-time coach of the year. And now he has JJ McCarthy, who a lot of people are giving a ton of credit despite him never playing a snap. And like this is truly like his rookie season. But Kevin O'Connell has the resume that supports him turning these quarterbacks into, you know, people who are in like offensive player of the year conversations. And then there's Jordan Love. Does he have enough weapons? They draft wide receivers. Is that going to be good enough? Is he going to live up to his contract after signing that big deal last year? And then you're like, well, he's paired with Matt LaFleur. I think it's so tough to say. I would love to say number one, but maybe I'm going to be safe and call it number two. But it's going to be directly linked to where the Bears finish in the division, like that player-coach relationship. Yeah. So then I'm like, that gives them a lot more credit than I think is probably realistic. That's just me being optimistic, but I that was a tough one for me. I'll say number two, but it's probably not going to be the case. What do you think?
I think you're in the right range, and the reason I say that is because I don't think the Bears have to be in second place in this division for it to be the second best thing. If you find a way to hit the ground running with this schedule this season, Bears schedule, it's much tougher this year. If Caleb Williams looks like the quarterback that we think he is, I think you can argue number one, because you don't have all the questions that you just brought up about every other quarterback in this division, right? Maybe JJ McCarthy kind of fits in to that same similar thing with Kevin O'Connell and Caleb Williams, or Kevin O'Connell, like Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams do. But I think when you're looking at the Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur relationship, it has grown. It's been interesting. It's been up. It's been down. It hasn't brought in a great run just yet. Maybe you look at that playoff run as great, but like there's still question marks there. By the way, Jordan Love's still throwing way too many ill-timed interceptions at the worst moment. And you only won a divisional game last year because you got a block at the end of the game on a field goal versus the Bears, who had a terrible offensive line, and you had one of your worst offensive linemen on the line on the field goal. I think that there's a conversation to be had where this could be the best combination of player or quarterback and coach, because if this hits the ground running, there isn't money attached to it yet. You've got a long runway, and Brian Poles can build a team around this young man just like he did this year that I think makes it much easier for Ben Johnson moving forward. So I would almost feel like you could be talking about them, like you said, number two for sure, but maybe even number one.
But how do you gauge that, I guess, is my question. Is it wins and losses solely, or is it like touchdown interception ratio? Is it on track to pass for 4,000? You know, like if they're not winning, I think that's where I struggle of like, I don't know where they're gonna fit into this division. I don't know that it's gonna be in the top two. That's where I get a little bit more like, I don't know how you like, how are you gonna judge that completely? Or is it just like, all right, we know that this is the pairing, maybe next year Caleb Williams is the one to take us into the playoffs.
Well, I think it goes into what Caleb Williams says, right? If it looks like a pairing that's gonna be here for a long time, you don't have question marks about it, right? Like, and if Caleb plays better, I would assume that's leading you to more wins. If Ben Johnson has common sense and throws a couple of these out there.
He already said he will.
You know what I mean? Like, he said he will. He says he's going to understand the moments and situations. We'll see when those moments actually hit. But, like, I'm telling you, a couple of these last season, we look at this Bears team completely different. We may be looking at this Bears team last season and going, we have to keep Matt Eberflus. He figured it out. He's got this thing right. Like, you're in a completely different conversation last year if common sense moments are had, if a field goal isn't blocked, if like these last second moments where you saw either player error that just felt like there's not enough talent there or coaching error more times than not. I mean, Matt Eberflus put on a clinic. I've called him on this podcast and on the radio many times on ESPN. Like, he was we talk about Caleb Williams was a generational player. He was a generational loser. And I'm talking just on the football field. Like, it was impressive.
You got more to say about off the field too, that means.
I don't have nothing to do with him off the field. Flew's a nice dude. When we talk to him, he's always very courteous. He's a good dude, but
very good dude.
He was a generational loser. It was impressive how he lost games. And I think that, like, to me, that being out of the building leads you to more wins. And if that relationship looks like, okay, this is not only just back to status quo, but this is going to be here, like Caleb Williams said, for a while. I think you look at that and say, that's one of the better relationships in the building, because there's still we haven't paid Caleb Williams yet what he's going to be getting.
Right, and that's why the window is, 3 years that Ryan Poles has made it pretty clear. Like, all these signings, extensions, like, they have set the window for them to win, and it's got to start right now, right? Like, if you don't see progress this year, well, then you're set back, and that window all of a sudden is out the door. So clearly Ryan Poles feels confident about who he hired to be his head coach, obviously who he drafted number one overall to be his quarterback. And I got to feel like he's going into this season feeling great about himself. But you talk about getting off to a fast start. It's not an easy schedule. Like, there is a very good chance they go into that bye at 1-3?
1-3. You definitely could.
Then what's the conversation? Like, we know how this city reacts to early season losses, especially when two of them are against your division. Like, this could be like total full force panic if it does not start fast and well. I do like them starting against JJ McCarthy and the Vikings in his first game. I think there's actually way more pressure on him coming back to his hometown playing in his first game. But we also know that, like, they loaded up in free agency, like that defense, the offensive line, like, I think the Vikings are scary.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think I was having this conversation yesterday on the Breeze. There's not an easy game on this schedule outside of the Saints. There are games that we look at because of who the team has been, and we say, oh, that should be easy. And then I see training camp videos with Abdul Carter and Brian Burns on the same side of the defensive line. And I'm like, oh God, I forgot about that. That's going to be a problem. Oh wait, they have a really good front seven. Like, that's not an easy game for you. You know, we see the Vegas Raiders on the docket, but then my brain goes back to the fact that we had, you know, the worst run defense, one of the worst run defenses in football last year, and they just added Ashton Jeanty, who everybody spent, you know, 6 months telling me was the greatest running back to ever touch a football, and there's no way you can miss on this guy. Like, there's so many things to me where all these easy games that we're trying to put on the schedule, They're not that easy. Ben Johnson is not going to have what Flus had at the beginning of last season, where we were like, wow, AFC South, rack up wins. You should be able to kill this.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be interesting to watch throughout is because we feel good about the roster, and we feel like, oh, they have all these weapons. Colston Loveland is essentially going to be another wide receiver out there. But we all know that every season brings a little bit of drama in Chicago, and how is this going to be managed? Because it was a topic of conversation last year where Caleb Williams he had one receiver every game that he keyed in on. He felt like he had good chemistry with that guy that day, and it was not spread out. And granted, play calling, offensive line, a lot of other factors that went into it. But I still think that is something to watch this year of like how everyone responds to having to share the ball. I think that's a huge stressor on the coach, the quarterback, and what could turn into something in the locker room if it's not, I don't know, if players don't understand the selflessness, the no block, no rock quote Ben Johnson lives by.
Well, listen, as always happens with coaching changes, sometimes there's those talented players that you look at and you say, we love you, but you don't fit what the mold is. Hopefully we don't have that here. Hopefully everybody's very kumbaya. I think we have a lot of personalities in that locker room that do fit that kind of, I don't care how we win, as long as we win mantra. But it's always different when you get halfway through a season. It's like, I got 400 yards, bro. Like, y'all need to throw me the football a little bit more. But I want to finish it out with this, Cassie. Thank you for giving us your time. As we got training camp coming up this year, last season heading into this time of year, Ryan Poles said it's going to be tough to make this team. This year, I think he was a little future thinking. This is the year where I think that may actually be the case. What are you going to be watching for positional battles heading into this training camp? Because I don't know if you're like me, Cassie. If you're a wide receiver or a tight end on this team, put some great tape on for somebody else, because it's going to be almost impossible for you to make this team.
Someone like Joel Wilson, maybe. Like, oh, he gets a shout out from Ben Johnson, and everyone's like, oh, it's the camp crush. Like, I love
JP Richardson. JP Richardson is my guy.
Yeah, that's your guy. He's got a little like Wes Welker, like a little bit to him. Like, you're like, he's fast. You love to see it. He looks great right now. And then you're like, I don't know that there's place on this roster. Which is a good thing. That's what you want. So my biggest thing that I think I'm going to be looking out for, I feel like everyone has the same answer almost, is who's going to be the starting left tackle. And I think from my observing at practice, like, we don't know if Braxton Jones is going to be healthy, and if he is, like, what he looks like. And so I feel like Ozzie Tripillo kind of has like the straight way to win that job right now. And the only reason I say that and don't include Karan Amagaji is because I don't think they'd be rotating in Tripillo as much as they are if they believe that Amagaji could win that job. And there's a reason they drafted Tripillo in the second round. That's like, Ben Johnson has had plenty of offensive linemen that he's worked with in Detroit who are second, third round guys that have turned into Pro Bowl offensive linemen. And so I think Tripillo has a great chance of winning that job. And that's, I think, what everyone's going to be looking at this entire training camp. And I don't want to discredit Braxton Jones, because I think for being a fifth round pick out of Southern Utah, like, he has been very serviceable for this team. But I think, again, you're looking at the long haul of protecting Caleb Williams, the most critical part on that offensive line. And Ozzie Tripillo and Caleb Williams could be together for a very long time. And so I think that is why that makes most sense to me right now. Now, pads aren't on. We don't know what he's going to look like. Love his approach of talking about playing right tackle at Boston College and staying after practice to work on the left side because he knew he wanted to play in the NFL. Like, I think he shows a lot of maturity, which is typical for a lot of offensive linemen. But that'll be what I'm looking at most, followed by running back. I think Kyle Manungai is going to be an interesting story because people are curious, like, being the seventh round pick that he is, like, will he make this roster? And everyone you talk to loves this kid. And I don't know if that translates into making an NFL roster and being paired with DeAndre Swift in the backfield, but I think that's going to be another interesting one to watch, along with the fact that Ian Wheeler is healthy. And Eric Bieniemy has singled him out several times that he's a big fan of his, along with what can Roschon Johnson do? Like, Matt Eberflus loved Roschon Johnson. Does this coaching staff? Like, that's what we'll start to find out. So those are the two position groups, along with linebacker Ruben Hippolyte. Got a shout out from Ben Johnson as well. We know he's fast. Another guy who you like his approach as they try to find the best third linebacker on this team. So those would be the three that I'm most interested in. Just in terms of guys who got shout outs, Dom Robinson. I feel like he gets the shout out every year at this time.
I wouldn't disagree. He's a freak athlete. There's no pads on. I was sitting there watching him, and he's like, he's killing Darnell Wright. And I'm like, that's great. But I've seen you with pads on not kill Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know how that's going to end. You know, but I'll say this. I hope Dom Rob does find a little bit more of a niche with this team, because he fits the mold of what Dennis Allen's looking for. 280, 290 pound defensive ends that have a quick first step, that can set an edge. Like, he fits that mold. This is the perfect defense for him, but we'll see if he's actually able to turn it into something long-term. I agree with you on the left tackle position conversation. That's the one I think everybody's going to be locked into. I'll ask you this. I asked Courtney this. Does it feel like Braxton Jones could lose this job before he ever gets an opportunity to go out there and compete for it?
I get the sense, yes. One, Braxton Jones was Ryan Poles' guy, but not Ben Johnson's guy. And I think that maybe that's being overshadowed a little bit. And so I think, you know, Ben Johnson, I think we all learned he had a very big say in who the Bears drafted, whether it be Colston Loveland, whether it be Luther Burden. And I think Ozzie Chipillo falls right into that conversation as well. Karana Magaji, also not a Ben Johnson guy. And I think one thing to note is Ben Johnson made a mention about Karana Magaji, that they had a good grade on him when he was back in Detroit. They could have drafted him, and they didn't. So I think that's kind of telling too, that I think he's a fan of Ozzie Chipillo for obvious reasons. He was in the draft room when they took him. He scouted him. And that's why I feel like Ozzie probably has the best chance to win the job.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that's going to be the focus of most of camp. And once this offensive line is set, hopefully we see this team hit the ground running a little bit more. Joint practices coming up as well, so that'll be a lot of fun to tune in with. We're almost there, almost back in training camp, which is exciting,
that's
but
terrifying.
Also is like, you know what I mean?
We just ended.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm ready for camp to be here because, like, let's go. Let's get some football. Let's see what Ben Johnson looks like. And then you go, but it's summer. I want summer. I like summer.
But then it's like, I love football season. I live for football season. And right now I'm like, okay, like, yeah, we can go do this, that. But I'm like, no, I just want to go back to
covering football. We got baseball. And,
yeah, Cubs are, hey, like, Cubs are good, so that helps. But
well, you know, I'm a Sox fan. I don't have
one. Okay, no, sorry. Right. Nothing beats Bears.
Oh, I saw that. That was shady right there.
I was at Sox yesterday, and I had a great time. Talk to Ryan Noda, a little hometown story.
Oh, I like that. Make sure to tap in with everything Cassie has going on. She's dominating the game out here covering the Bears on Bears Game Day Live, doing so many shows for Fox Sports. Thank you, Cassie, for joining in on us on the Chicago Bears podcast today. And let the people know on social media where they can all find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X and Instagram at Cassie Carlson TV.
Tap in with her. Stay safe out there, Chicago. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Cassie Carlson, your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.